Man, I'm so excited about tonight. Is anybody just like glad to be in the house of God? Like, isn't it just so refreshing getting to come here, man, and hang out with Jesus and hang out with each other? It's just so, so, so amazing. Well, I'm going to pray. Then we're going to hop right into the last part of this series. So Jesus, tonight, we love you. God, we bless you. God, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you that your word is living and it's powerful. God, that your word isn't dead. God, it's not just ink on pages. God, it's not just words written by men. No, God, your word is a sword, Father God. God, is sharper than a double-edged sword, God. So tonight we thank you that your word is coming and is changing us, God, that is rocking us. That Jesus, that you are the word. So I pray tonight that you would mess up our normal. God, that you would mess up the way that we think that it should be done tonight. Come on, God, come and change our perspectives. Let us see you. Spirit of revelation, open our eyes. Spirit of wisdom in our hearts tonight. Come on, if everyone could lift your hands nice and high in the air. Just say, Jesus, tonight I open up to whatever you have for me. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. Whew. You guys ready? I'm so stoked. So tonight we're ending the series, Hello, My Name Is. Hello, My Name Is. Hello, My Name Is. And so over the past few weeks, we have defined revival as this. It's kind of three definitions in one, but that's all right. We said that revival is when heaven invades earth so much that earth begins to look like heaven. You guys should have this memorized by now. We've said it so much. It is when an unexpected move of God happens or when what's dead is brought back to life. And so in recent weeks, you know, from camp, we said that, man, we all want to see revival break out, right? And we all want to see God rock our environments. But that's not just going to happen. But there is a lifestyle that we have to adopt to see it happen. You know, it's almost like for everyone who says, man, I want to become a professional athlete. And you go, how much do you practice? Once a week? Good luck, bro. That's never going to happen, right? And so if we want to become revivalists, I mean, if we want to see revival happen, then there's a lifestyle and there's some discipline that we have to adopt into our life. And so we said that the first thing that we need to adopt into our life is personal revival. Somebody say personal revival. Before revival ever came to a region, it first came to a heart. And that always leads to having intimacy with God, is that your relationship with God is built in private, not in public. And last week we talked about, man, is that if you're going to see revival happen, if you're going to be used by God, then you got to take some risks, right? You got to take some risks, but guess what? You don't have to take them alone. I see a room full of risk takers here tonight. I see a room full of people who are going to rock their high schools this school year. And I see a room full of people who are going to start laying hands on the sick and watching them recover. I see a room full of people where you're going to lay hands on people who've never experienced the power of God before. And they're going to go out underneath the power of God and have dreams and visions. I see a room of people. But tonight, we're talking about prayer and fasting. So tonight, I want to wrap up this series with talking about rain dancing. But talking about rain dancing, how many of you guys know what a rain dance is? Come on, how many of you guys know what a rain dance is, right? I'm sure you do. I'm sure you've seen it. But in case you do not know what a rain dance is, I looked it up on Wikipedia because we all know Wikipedia is the best source to find anything, right? Not, but I stole it, so that's okay. Is that Wikipedia said this, it's a ceremonial dance performed by people who believed that it would cause it to rain. It's a ceremonial dance performed by people who believed it would cause it to rain. You know, so I went through and I was looking at different cultures and different societies and stuff like that and just looking what different rain dances look like, you know. And so people would grab all kinds of crazy costumes and they would line up across from each other. They would just do all kind of crazy dances. But tonight, to be honest with you guys, I want to see your rain dance. I want to see your rain dance. How many of you guys think you have a good rain dance? Come on, do I have any brave takers? Have our brave takers? Come here. Can we got one over here? Do we got one over here? One over here. You Isaac? Come on, bro. Listen, and winner of the rain dance gets a gift card to Forever 21. I don't know what that is. Your sister says win it. Sister says win it. Oh baby, it's about to go down. All right, so here we go. Here we go. Isaiah, show us your rain dance. Watch. I'm ready. Yeah. Can anybody see the rain coming? Hey. Oh. That was beautiful. Now, Isaac. Show them, Isaac. Show them how the hood does a rain dance, brother. Come on, you are representing every brother in this house. So, everyone who thought Isaiah's rain dance was the best, I need you to scream as loud as you can on the count of three. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Dang, bro.
All right. Everyone who thought Isaac's rain dance was the best, I need you to shout on the count of three. One, two, three. All right. Come here. All right. Here we go. Here. Here. Yeah.
It's just hungry.
All right. I am gonna give this card to Isaiah. And the mic, because I have a hole in this ear, so I don't know. So somebody give it up for Isaiah for winning the rain dance. Hold on, Isaiah, but. Oh, come on, good. Somebody go, oh. Okay, I need you to stay up here. I need you to stay because I'm going to need you to demonstrate that again for me as I read this. So check it out here. So for centuries, right, and throughout history, different cultures have practiced these rain dances. It's not exactly that. And so the reason why they practice this is because they realized that the determining factor on whether or not they were going to have a harvest that year, or AKA if they were going to be able to eat food and not starve, was whether or not there would be rain to come. Right? Whether or not there'd be rain to come. So when there was a drought, man, is that when things were looking a little dry, is that they would start to do the rain dance. All right, whatever. All right, so I'm going to give my man a hand here. I'm going to give my man a hand here. Is that they would begin to do a rain dance and think that this rain dance would impress the gods, right? And then the gods would send down water from heaven to shower the crops, right? And so tonight, whether you realize it or not, is there's actually a story in the Bible about a guy who did a rain dance. There's a story in the Bible about a guy who did a rain dance and caused it to rain. And so I believe that tonight is that God is wanting to up your rain dance game. Okay, is that God's wanting to up your rain dance game. And so tonight, if you want to be a rainmaker, how many of you guys want to be a rainmaker in this place? Like, you don't know what that is yet, but you want to be a rainmaker. Come on. Is that there are three things that you need to recognize, that you need to realize, and that you need to do. There's three things. So somebody say number one. Number one is this, is that you have to realize that there is a drought. That you have to realize that there's a drought. So tonight, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. Come on. Hey, quiet churches, hey. Listen to this. It says, later on in the third year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, go and present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him that I will soon send rain. So Elijah went to appear before Ahab. So notice here that later on in the third year of the what? Of the what? Of the what? There had been a drought in Israel. There had been no rain for three entire years. She says, sounds like California. Can you guys imagine what it would be like to live in an environment where it had not rained for 3 years? I don't know whether you realize this or not, but I'm just going to define it for you. I know we all probably realize what a drought is, but I'm just going to let you know is that a drought is an extended period of time of no rain that causes extreme dryness in the environment. See, droughts, periods of no rain over a specific time period, especially over elongated time periods, are dangerous. Why is it dangerous? See, because when there is a drought, the ground begins to dry up and it begins to crack and become lifeless because there's a lack of rain. And I want you guys to look at this picture right here for me. Look, the result of a drought is that the moisture begins to leave and the grounds begin to crack. And that's not even a 3 year drought. And when there's a drought, the vegetation begins to die and there becomes no crops or crops to grow out and harvest because guess what? There's a lack of rain. Listen, that picture right there makes me want to cry because that's corn. And I don't know whether you realize this or not, but corn saved America twice. Okay, twice. But anyways, that's another sermon for another time. Okay, yes, I'm a lover of corn. And the truth is, guys, is that when there's a drought, is that the livestock begins to die because there's nothing to eat, because there's a lack of rain. There's a lack of rain. So how many guys are seeing that rain is pretty important? Is that, guess what, man, is that if you want to have a harvest, then you got to have rain, then you got to have water, and then you got to have moisture, right? Because without water, then the vegetation doesn't grow. Without vegetation, the animals starve. And without animals, there's no meat. And what's the point of living if there's no meat, right? And your vegetation here, I'm sorry, I offended you, and I don't care. So listen, in Israel, there were two rain seasons. It was called the former rain and the latter rain. Is that the former rain would come, and it would begin to soften the hard ground up so that farmers could go in and begin to till and begin to plant crops so that they could get the seed in the ground. And then there was a second rainy season called the latter rains. All right, and this is when the rains would come and that they would know that the crops were ready to harvest by the latter rain. But guess, check this out tonight, is that when there was a heavy downpour, there was a heavy harvest. I mean, tonight, when there was a heavy downpour, there was a heavy harvest. But when there was a light downpour, there was a light harvest. Are you guys hearing me tonight? So guess what? No water / no rain means no harvest. And no harvest means no life. Hear that tonight? No water means no harvest. No harvest means no life. Now, this had been going on for three entire years. Three entire years. Listen, I'm from Washington State, where it will literally rain like 30 days straight. Okay? So this like blows my mind to go 3 years without rain. But this drought, it was a physical representation for the spiritual climate that was going on in Israel. Hear me tonight. It was a physical representation of the spiritual climate that was happening in Israel. See, because the king of Israel was this guy named Ahab. Somebody say Ahab. Come on, somebody say Ahab. Somebody say Ahab. Is that God tells Elijah to appear before the king Ahab. Now, the Bible says that Ahab had become Israel's most wicked king to date. Become Israel's most wicked king to date. Is that the Bible says that no one had sold himself to evil like Ahab had under his wife's influence named Jezebel. Is that he had turned a nation from serving the one true God to serving the false god Baal. Is that it had gotten so bad that Ahab's wife Jezebel was so intent on wiping out the voice and the conviction of God in the nation that she killed every single prophet but 100 of them who went in hiding. Come on, tonight imagine if somebody took office of president And they were so evil that they went around and killed every single pastor that was in this nation, except 100 of them who ran and hid. That's how bad this nation was, man. That's the spiritual drought that they were in. It was evil. It was messed up. But among this 100, there was a guy named Elijah. Elijah was one of the only prophets left in Israel. Is that he was one of the last voices of God to be heard in his nation. Is that he was the remnant of his day and his time. See, what's a spiritual drought? What am I talking about tonight? Is it a spiritual drought? It is when there's a place that's void of the presence and power of God. Is when there's a place that's void of the presence and power of God. See, just like when there is no rain and there's no harvest, is that this place is that there is no presence. And because there is no presence, there is no power. Because there is no presence, there is no power. And when there's no power, there's no life. Come on, Israel was in a bad spot. Come on, Israel was in a bad spot. Is that Israel was in need of some rain. Is that Israel was in need of a rainmaker. Is that they were in need of somebody to do a rain dance. That was weak, bro. That was weak. Dude, you got to be ready with your rain dance. Just joking. But tonight you may find yourself like Elijah. Come on, tonight. You may find yourself in a dry spot, man, in a dry environment, in a place that's void of the presence and the power of God. See, maybe that's your school. Come on, how many of you guys know that there's some spiritual droughts going on in our schools? Right? I mean, see, maybe it's your home. See, maybe you're the only one in your household that's really saved. Maybe you're the only one in your household that really loves Jesus, and so you need some rain in your household. Come on, maybe it's your workplace. I wasn't always a pastor, y'all. Working in the back of Chick-fil-A. I prayed over your chicken. I said, Lord, sanctify this chicken. And the words coming out of that man's mouth. See, maybe it's those places that are void of the presence and the power of God, man, that needs some rain. Is that tonight you got to recognize that you're in a drought. Because if you don't know that you're in a drought, then you'll never be a rainmaker. Come on, you'll never be a rainmaker. How crazy, tell me tonight, how crazy would it be for Elijah to not even realize that he was in the middle of a drought? In fact, can we throw that picture up there? The first one. See, how crazy would it be for him to be walking and never look down and see the ground, never realize where he's at, never realize where his environment is at? Throw the next picture. How crazy would it be if he was walking and he was eating and he never noticed that the crops were going bad? Next picture, please. How crazy would it be as he's stepping over dead animals? I just like taking big steps. This is lovely weather. It doesn't make any sense. But I think it's wild is that there are so many Christians that are in the middle of a drought and they are okay with it. They're okay with their environment. They're okay with what their school's like. Is that they have the attitude of saying is that, man, I'm just going to spend 4 years here and then I'm done. I can't wait to get out of here. You want to leave your school in a drought? Come on, your school, your environment, your home, your workplace, your circle of friends is waiting for a rainmaker. Come on, it's waiting for a rainmaker. Come on, it's waiting for a rainmaker. Amen. Amen. So in the middle of a drought, in the middle of your drought, you're called to be a rainmaker. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, rainmaker. Is that number two is this. Number two is this, is that you have to realize that in the midst of a drought, there is a promise. Come on, I love this tonight. You have to realize that in the midst of a drought, that there is a promise. So let's look at verse 1 again, where God speaks to Elijah. He says, go and present yourself to King Ahab and tell him that I will soon send the rain. Come on, he had it rain for 3 years. But guess what? God gave Elijah a promise. And Elijah was so bold that he went before Ahab. He came out of hiding. Listen, God is waiting for some of you guys to come out of hiding. If I can prophetically speak that tonight, is that he was in hiding. Every other prophet in the nation had been killed except for 100 of them. And he says, man, God gave me a promise, so I'm going to go. I'm going to go. And so he goes before this king, right, with boldness. And he says, listen, you need to go and eat. Why? Because I hear the sound of a mighty rainstorm coming. Throw up that first picture up there for me again. Come on, in the middle of this, he said, I hear the sound of a mighty rainstorm coming. Come on, tonight, can you hear the rainstorm? Come on, can you hear the rainstorm over your school? Can you hear the rainstorm over your circle of friends, baby? Come on, drip, drop, drip, drop. Drip, drop, drip, drop, baby. It's coming. I know it's cheesy, but I got to do it. Drip, drop, drip, drop. Let it rain and clear it out. Come on, drip, drop. Can you hear the sound? Can you hear the sound of a mighty rainstorm coming? Is that what I love? Is that where we see rain in the Bible? Is that there are times when you can compare it to revival beginning to break out. Come on, when you see rain, you see revival. See, is that when Elijah went and told Ahab, hey, guess what? There's a rainstorm coming. There's a rainstorm approaching. What he was really saying is that Ahab, God is about to dethrone you. He's about to dethrone the wickedness from your rule off of this throne. And God is about to reestablish his kingdom back in Israel. Come on, can you hear the rain coming? Come on, can you see evil being overthrown in your school? Come on, can you see that spirit of homosexuality and of confusion being turned into a spirit of a sound mind? Come on, that spirit of lust being overthrown and the spirit of purity resting on your school. Come on, can you hear the sound of a rainstorm coming? Is that tonight? You got to realize there's a promise, but check this out in Joel chapter 2. Verse 23, it says, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully. He's given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain. Right? But what's God talking about here? Is he talking about just rain? No, he's not. Check this out. Next verse, please. Is that, and it will come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Come on, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and I will show you wonders in the heavens and the earth. Now, get this connection here. God talks about the rain, then he talks about the Holy Spirit coming on all flesh. You know what that's called? Revival. It's called revival. All right, I think back to the revivals that we've talked about, man, where people can't escape the grip of the Holy Spirit, right? Because he's in the middle of bars, and he's in the middle of strip clubs, he's in the middle of drug rings, he's in the middle of prostitute rings, and all those things got to shut down because God is pouring his spirit out on all flesh. Come on, tonight, can you hear the sound of rain coming? Is that there's a direct link between the rain of God and the Holy Spirit being poured out on all flesh? Revival is that. Just like Elijah grabbed a hold of his promise, you got to grab a hold of your promise. Come on, you got to grab a hold of your promise. What's your promise? Isaiah chapter 41, verse 18. Check this out. I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Come on, I'm going to send the rain. I'm going to send the rain, baby. I'm going to send the rain. Come on, y'all, drip, drop. Drip, drop, baby. Is that bad? Am I saying something bad? Yeah. Drip, drop. Claiming it for the kingdom, baby. If it's bad, I don't know. Drip, drop. Is that, listen, you got to begin to see your promise. Come on, check out this, check out this. When Elijah went and said, I can hear the sound of a mighty rainstorm coming, there was no rainstorm. He said, you got to see your promise before it ever happens. Come on, you got to see your promise before it ever happens. Somebody say, number three, I'm going to end here tonight, is that lastly, is that you have to
do your rain dance. You have to do your own rain dance. Check out this in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 42. It says that Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. Then he said to the servant, "Go and look out towards the sea." And the servant went and looked, then returned to Elijah and said, I didn't see anything. Seven times Elijah told him to go and look. Somebody say, finally. His servant told him, "I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea." Come on. Elijah did the best rain dance known to mankind. He did this. One knee hit the ground. The other knee hit the ground. His face went between his knees, and he started to pray. Come on, you got to understand right here that this is the only rain dance that works for a spiritual drought. Tonight, I'm not asking you to go and to dress up in weird costumes in your bedroom and to dance around. That's not what I'm asking you to do. That's a cult. That's weird. You know, you can do that if you want to. Have fun. Weird. But listen, but tonight, this is what God is asking you to do. He's saying, can your knees hit the ground for your school? Can your knees hit the ground for your family? Can your knees hit the ground for your workplace? Come on, why? Oh, why? Man, I got to close, y'all. But get this. Is that Elijah understood a principle that most Christians never get. They never get that the will of God happens on earth through the prayers of his people. Catch this tonight. The will of God happens on earth through the prayers of his people. Check out this really quickly. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says this. It says, "For we are God's fellow workers." Somebody say workers. The word worker means one whom God employs as an assistant. One whom God employs as an assistant. 1 Corinthians 6:1 says this. "As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it." The word partner there means to help in work and to put forth power together and to assist. And to assist. See, whether you realize it or not, God has required your help. God has required your help. Is that God tonight is looking for some rainmakers. He's looking for someone who will partner with him to pray his will into the earth. Catch this tonight. Guess what? If you don't, he won't. Come on, if you don't pray, God can't move. He can't. And you see, the problem is that I'm over here and I'm thinking that Isaiah's gonna pray. And Isaiah's over here, he's thinking that he's going to pray. And he's over here thinking that he's going to pray. I'm sorry, I don't know y'all's names. Bad youth pastor moment. Forgive me. And you over here, you're thinking that Hunter's going to pray. And that Vashti's going to pray. And we're always waiting on somebody else to be a rainmaker when God is calling you to be the rainmaker. You see, listen, I wonder what would have happened if one of those other 100 prophets would have stepped out before Elijah. Or was Elijah just the first one to answer the call to begin to pray? Are you guys hearing me tonight? Listen, is that just like Elijah's prayers made a difference, your prayers make a difference. And tonight, we gotta close, unfortunately. But come on, y'all, God is waiting. Come on, God is waiting. If you won't, he won't. If you don't, he can't. Is that you are responsible to pray the will of God into the earth for your environment. Come on, you're responsible for your prayers to start being bigger than you. Come on, if all I pray about all the time is me, then I'm a selfish Christian. I'm a selfish Christian. And that's not God, that's not kingdom. Man, but if I can realize that there are people in my environment that are waiting on me to be a rainmaker. Come on, y'all, they're waiting on me to start doing a rain dance, baby. Not. But this, come on, one knee hitting the ground, the other knee hitting the ground, and you begin to cry out for souls in your environment. is I'm not talking about little weak prayers like, oh, God, you know, they're going to hell, so save them. No, I'm talking about crying out. Why? Because the Bible says that the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous man avails much. Man, sometimes you got to get passionate over your school. Come on, you got to get passionate over someone who's dying and going to hell. Jesus, come and save them, God. Come on, God, you see the spiritual drought that's happening. You see the people going to hell, God. Come on, God, would you open their eyes, God? Remove the blindness from their hearts so that they can see that Jesus, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, God. Come on, sometimes you got to pray for that rain. Listen, I don't think Elijah had a soft prayer. I don't think Elijah was like, okay, God, send the rain. And lastly, I'll end on this. You know what I love about this story? I love the honesty of the Bible. Like, most writers would have said, Elijah prayed and then the rain came. But the Bible says that he prayed one time. And guess what? That first time, it didn't happen. That he prayed a second time. Guess what? It didn't happen. He prayed a third time. Guess what? It didn't happen. A fourth, a fifth, a sixth time. Still no rain. Still no cloud. But guess what? I love that the Bible says, finally. Oh. I'm sure that servant was like, thank you, God. Finally, on the seventh time, I saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. What happens next? I love this. Is that 1 Kings 18:45. Do we got that verse, guys? 1 Kings 18:45 up there. And soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Abraham left quickly for Jezreel. Never despite small beginnings. Never despite small beginnings. Why? Because it always starts out a cloud the size of a man's hand. Amen. So, you know, tonight I didn't get to talk a lot about this. I didn't get to talk at all about it. But prayer has a partner. Listen, like peanut butter has jelly, like Batman has Robin. All right, like I got my wife. Is that prayer has a partner in crime called fasting. All right, called fasting. If you want to see God begin to move in your environment, then you got to begin to fast. What's fasting? The word means to close your mouth, which in essence means, hey, stop eating. Is that God says, I want you to take that time that you would usually eat and begin to pray and begin to seek my face. Listen, fasting doesn't move God, but fasting gets you in a place to hear from God, to get strategies from heaven on how to reach your environment. All right, so I know that's like, I didn't get to talk all about that. Maybe we'll talk about it sometime later. But next week, this is what we're going to do. Is that I was going to do a little bit of it tonight, but we don't have time. But next week is that we're going to have a rain dancing service. All right? We're going to have a rain dancing service, baby. Listen, is that next week, all we're going to do is we're going to worship and we're going to pray for our schools. All right, we're going to worship and we're going to pray for our environments. We're going to worship, we're going to pray for our teachers. We're going to worship and we're going to pray that God is going to break out and revival is going to break out. Okay, but here's my challenge to you. Number one, show up. Okay? I know some of you guys are like, prayer. Oh my gosh, I got to pray. Listen, you guys can do it. You guys can do it because you guys are men and women of God. Okay? You are men and women of God. All right, and your prayers matter. Your prayers make a difference. Number two, here's my next challenge. Are you guys ready? Here's my next challenge. I dare you next Wednesday. Now, I know this probably isn't going to be aimed right, but I dare you next Wednesday to fast. From 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Okay? I dare you to do nothing but drink water from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Listen, you guys can do it. All right, you guys can do it. Listen, I'm not saying this to brag on myself at all, but just show you it's possible. Okay? I usually fast every single Wednesday night. Every single Wednesday I fast until I go home and I'm done preaching. Why? Because I want to see God move. I want to hear from God. Okay? So listen, you guys can do it. You guys can fast. All right, so next week we're going to have a rain dancing service. Amen? So tonight, if we could just close our eyes and stand up and just lift our hands up in the air. Come on, tonight let's focus, men. Come on, tonight I want you to get that promise. I want you to get that promise in your hearts for your school, that God's going to make the dry places full of water, that the glory of God is going to cover the land like the seas cover the earth. So thank you, Jesus. God, tonight I thank you that the latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain. God, that the rain that's coming into this house, God, into this city, God, into these high schools, Father God, into these families, Jesus, is going to be greater than anything that we've ever seen before. Come on, Jesus, right now, we grab a hold of that promise, God. And God, we walk in faith by it, that just like Elijah went and told Ahab, told the evil ruler, king, hey, I hear the sound of a mighty rainstorm coming. Man, we make notice to hell. We leave notice to hell to every principality in our schools and the places in our environments, saying, get ready, there's revival coming. Get ready, there's revival coming. Get ready, God's about to move. Get ready, this place is going to begin to look like heaven. Get ready, an unexpected move of God is about to break out. Come on, God, we come in alignment with your word right now for our schools. We come in alignment with your word right now for our environments. That God, that you desire to see revival on the earth. God, you desire for it. God, it is heaven. It's when heaven crashes earth. So, God, we pray revival into our schools, into our atmospheres right now, God. And, God, it may not happen on the first time or the second time or the third time or the fourth, fifth, sixth time. But, God, we know that it will finally, God, that there will be a finally moment where it will happen, God. So, God, we come in alignment with that and we receive it, God, tonight. We receive it tonight, God. We receive the finally. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, 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 amen. All right, now before we leave, I have one last announcement to make to you guys, an announcement that super breaks my heart, but I'm just so pumped for this guy, is that it has been prophesied over this house again and again and again and again that this is a sending house. This is where people get sent and they get trained up. In fact, Cam, your whole family just come on down. Your whole family, you and your wife and Daniela, you guys can come on down too. I'm going to cover this guy here first. Is that during an I Am Remnants conference, God spoke to Pastor Pat and said that he needed a pastor over his school of interns that he's starting in Fort Worth, Texas. And so God spoke and laid our main man, Mooney, here directly on his heart. And so in about a month and a half, Mooney is going to be moving all the way to Tejas. It's Texas for you guys that don't know, that don't speak the native tongue of Tejas. And then so he's going to be moving there, and he's going to be pastor over the school of ministry there and interns, and also like connecting Pastor Pat with different churches, basically being a liaison between Pastor Pat and different churches. So can we, man, we'll do this again, but just can we just give Mooney like the biggest round of claps and applause and thanks? Listen, you guys do not know how much this guy does for this youth ministry. Listen, it is not going to be easy to fill his shoes tonight. And so, Mooney, man, I just say, dude, from youth pastor here, from all these guys here, I know PQ can connect with this as well, but thank you, dude, for the production side of things, making things so excellent, man, from our amazing graphics. I mean, I just love our graphics. Like, I'm saying, like, I follow youth ministries around the world. This guy does a great, great, great job. And just for our video announcements, everything, bro. So thank you so, so, so much. We love you. Okay, next, a lot of you guys don't know, Cameron has been here. Jeez, how long have you been a part of the youth ministry?
2004.
2004, 13 years. He started here when some of y'all were being born, y'all. I said some of y'all. Put your hands down. And listen, so can we just give Cameron like a huge hand clap and thank you? Guys, this... Like, you guys do not know. Listen, Cameron was a part of the youth ministry when there was, like, 30 kids here. And there was, like, 30 kids here, and we were in, like, that back room back there. I remember it all, man, because I was part of the youth ministry then. But this guy has poured out countless hours, countless volunteer time just to love you guys and to see you guys grow. So if you guys see either of these guys tonight, him, his wife, Danielle is also going, let me tell them where you're going. I'm sorry. Is that Cameron is becoming the Pastor David, the discipleship pastor of a church in Indiana, all the way Indiana, Indianapolis. They are moving this Sunday. They're packing up and they're leaving. It is absolutely crazy. And like, y'all don't know, like this one breaks my heart. Like, I want to cry because he's leaving, because he's been such a good friend, such a voice of wisdom in my life. And I need to shut up because we need to go. But y'all four just come in the middle here. Come in the middle here. And I just want us to stretch our hands forth and pray with these guys and bless these guys. So Jesus, we just thank you, God, for all these amazing people who you're sending out of this house, God, who've come here, who've been trained up here, God. So we just bless these guys in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you so much, God, that just like I prayed earlier, that the latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain. God, that the things that come will be better than the things that are behind them, God. So God, we just speak fruitfulness, God. We speak abundance, Jesus. We speak blessing, God. We speak favor, God. We speak prosperity, God. We speak wisdom, Jesus. We speak strength, God. We speak grace, God, into all of these guys as they're venturing on a brand new journey, Jesus. On a brand new journey with you. How exciting, God, it is for these guys, God. So we just send them out from this house in a blessing, God, as a youth ministry, God. God, and we just thank you, God, that you're giving back to all of these guys every ounce, God. Every single ounce that they have poured into, God, your people here, God. Bless them, God. Bless them, bless them, bless them. In the name of Jesus, we all said, amen, amen, amen. All right, I love you guys. We are dismissed. Remember, next Wednesday, fasting from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And let's come ready to make some rain, baby. I love you guys. Have a good night.